Thank you for having me come again. Pastor David really made sure that he had a speaker this morning because he called me or emailed me 2 months ago to make sure that I was going to be here. And I said, yes, I will come and visit with the folks here at Crossroads. I bring you greetings from our interim conference minister, Gabrielle Chavez, who is probably busy this morning. She was here not too long ago, I'm sure, yeah? And she introduced a new staff person to you, the Reverend Tracy Barnow, who is in charge of Minister of Church Vitality. And she's been making her rounds with us as we introduce her to the various associations throughout our state. And it's just been wonderful for her to get that experience. One of the things that often challenges me is that, you know, English is my second language. And so when people like Tracy and like others who come from the West Coast, they speak very fast. Yeah? They speak very fast. So I have to say, hold up, slow it down, because I want to catch every important word that you say. And other than that, it'll just fly over my head. But we're learning. We're learning together. And she's tried mangoes and all of that, so she's getting to become local soon. Yeah. Well, this morning's text is very interesting to me, and thank you for reading the Old Testament lesson from the book of Numbers, because it has to do with us as the church. Several years ago at my previous congregation, I remember a discussion that I had with the church council. It was very interesting, it was very revealing of the kind of distorted vision of ministry that is very afoot in the church these days. I had a sudden change in my vacation plans and was going to have to be out of town for a Sunday that I had not planned on. I was having great difficulty finding another pastor to fill the pulpit. It was the summer, so many pastors are already on vacation, and those who are available for pulpit supply were already booked. I suggested to the church council that if we continued to have problems, we could call on one of several very capable lay people in the congregation, perhaps even one of them, to handle the preaching in my absence. At first, I think they thought I was joking. As a nervous laughter circulated around the room, but after a few moments, when it became obvious I was serious and not joking, it got quite quiet. The council members were visibly nervous. Everyone was avoiding eye contact with me for fear that I would ask one of them to do it. After all, preaching is for the preachers and not lay people. That's my job, they thought, not theirs. Not too long before that, when our church was having a luau, it was after our opening preparation, and it was right after worship service. And I was out tending to a distraught visitor. And the folks were getting ready for the potluck after the luau in the fellowship hall. And as the food was being prepared, they realized they need to pull it. They need to pray for the food. So someone comes out of the hall, yells across the parking lot and say, "Hey, Kao! You got to pull it for the food," you know. So I was like, what? Don't these people know how to pray? So I tended to the fella, the young fella, went back into the hall, and I said to everyone, gather here in a circle. You mean to tell me, if the kahu does not give the pulley for the food, everybody is going to starve? You know? Oh, no. Then why do you wait till I have to do it? You all could do it. You could all volunteer to do it. Oh, no. That's the kahu's job. Eventually, I was able to find a substitute, but the nervous crisis on the church council revealed a problem that affects Christian congregations everywhere. We have trouble understanding not only the nature of preaching, but also the nature of the entire ministry of the church. I suspect that most think that ministry is only for the highly trained, for the seminary educated, called and ordained professional pastors. When we speak of being called to the ministry, we usually think of the full-time professional ministry where people are salaried and paid by the church. Ministry is really not for the lay people, we might think. If lay people do ministry, it must be church-related, like teaching Sunday school, or singing in the choir, or serving on the council, or volunteering to cut the grass or clean the sanctuary. Most people have a difficult time seeing how they can possibly be ministers out there in the world of their everyday lives. Most lay people feel that they are not good at doing such things, since they do not have all the education, all the training of a pastor. They either feel guilty for not being ministers or completely excuse themselves from having anything to do with the ministry of the church, except for supporting it financially, as they pay someone else to do it for them. The ministry, preaching and teaching and counseling and talking about Jesus and raising money and running meetings, that's what the pastor is supposed to do for them. After all, isn't that what we pay them for? The question still has not been resolved, as revealed by the confusion that still exists in many congregations concerning who can preach and just who exactly is a minister and who is not. Is the ministry something reserved only for those who are rostered professionals, certified, and approved by the church? Or is ministry more than that? Couldn't it be something given to all God's people? And if so, just what is ministry and what is not? Is ministry only something at which the laity can only hope for to be good amateurs at best, especially when compared to the ordained professionals and experts? Today's scripture reading offers some help in understanding these questions. In today's gospel, John, one of the innermost circle of Jesus' disciples, explained about a man who was casting out demons in the name of Jesus, but was not one of Jesus' select group of people. 12 disciples. Today we might say that he was not on a clergy roster or a properly trained and certified professional church worker. Such breaking of official channels and institution sanctions could not be tolerated at the time. A similar incident is reported in today's first lesson, from Numbers 11, 24 through 29. 70 elders were appointed to help Moses lead the Israelites in the wilderness. It had become too much for Moses to do by himself, But then we hear the complaints about two young men who were prophesying and were not among the 70 officials authorized elders. Both Jesus and Moses responds in the same way, which is remarkably unconcerned with following institutional sanctions. Both say that such unauthorized activity is okay. God doesn't always do God's work through officially approved channels. Moses is elated that Eldad and Medad are prophesying, and he wishes that more people in Israel were doing it. Jesus too is elated. This man who cast out demons in Jesus' name can't be all that bad. In fact, what this man is doing is as important and as legitimate as what the select group of 12 were doing. The message is clear. God will not be bound, and God's work will not be limited to official channels. God is free to do what God wills. Yeah? Where God wills, God's Spirit blows freely and cannot be manipulated by human connivances. Ministry, the work that God has given his people to do, can be carried out by a great variety of people. Ministry, the casting out of demons, the proclamation of God's word, the giving of a cup of water to the parched and to the thirsty, is not something bequeathed to only a select few of God's people. That's what our lesson is talking about. Ministry, the mighty works done in the name of Jesus, cannot be controlled or limited by just the officials or the church bureaucrats or congregational councils or even the pastor. Ministry is God's work. She gives it to whom she chooses, and the recipients of the responsibility may include who we thought were least qualified. So what does this mean for you? The ministry is not just mine. It is not just something which is controlled by the officials of the church. This ministry is something which belongs to the whole people of God, all baptized Christians, and that means you. God has called you to be God's servant in the world. God has given you time and talents, abilities and money. The work you do on the job, in the community, in your homes, in the voting booths, that is God's work. By seeking to be faithful in your vocation, to do what is right and just and true, you are doing God's work. You are God's servants and God's ministers. But even more than this, it is through you, out there in the world, outside the walls of this place, that the kingdom of Christ begins to take root in this world. As you give a cup of water to the thirsty, as you clothe the naked and feed the hungry, as you care for the welfare of a neighbor or a co-worker or even a rival, even at the expense of your own interests and well-being, as you forgive the wrongdoers and love your enemy, you begin to embody the sacrificial love of Christ to this world. You become the salt of the world, the seasoning of the earth. You begin to make a difference in this world, and the world begins to sit up and take notice. God comes to remind you that regardless of what the world might insinuate about you, regardless of how you might be accused by your own conscience or God's own holy presence, you are nevertheless God's beloved children, God's very own people, the apple of God's eye, and yes, dare we say it, God's very own ministers, God's chosen servants, people sent to heal the world with a cup of water, with the love of God in Jesus Christ. And there is absolutely nothing in this world that can make that promise go away from you. You can do it because you are salt, because you are leaven, and because of who you are, you can make a difference in the world. You can be the ones who offer the cup of water to those who are thirsty. God is with you. God is in you. God is using you, you of all people, to be God's ministers in the world. Amen?